Thank you, Peter. So we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are going to begin a new theme, and the theme is sleep in the arms of Jesus. This is Jesus speaking to Louisa, and the reason it's chosen is because of the time that we're living in. A lot of people are afraid. A lot of people are nervous. A lot of people are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. And Jesus tells us, he says, I don't want you to live a life like that. I want you to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. And with confidence in God, with trust in God, with hope in God, this is the only way to live this life. So what is Jesus showing us is he says, come into my arms. He is the father of the age to come, and we are the little children of the divine will. And when there's, you know, thunder and lightning outside, and a child is scared, he runs to his parents' arms, mother's arms, and the mother says, everything's going to be okay. And this is what we have to learn. We have to learn that no matter what is going on, everything's going to be okay. The whole reason for the Book of Heaven is to begin to live this abundant life. The only reason for the Book of Heaven is to get us ready for the kingdom of God being established on earth as it is in heaven. And once we understand this, there's no fear. There's no worry. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. Everything becomes fiat. Everything becomes fiat. And this is what God is asking. He's asking us to go to Louisa and listen to what Jesus told Louisa. She wrote everything down for our benefit. And when we read the Book of Heaven, when we enter into this gift, we become peaceful, joyful, and happy. That's what God has planned. And in these times, good things are right around the corner. I just heard that, the shrine in Rome City, Indiana, has just been abundantly blessed. And a place of pilgrimage is now open for anyone who wants to go. And if you know anything about Our Lady of America, she says that the children of America will bring what is purity? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of man, Mary. It's to begin to live this abundant life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. So this is what's coming. It's everything. Don't be fooled by the evil one tricking us and lying to us and deceiving us. The kingdom is coming. His time is over. And our job is to begin to understand that when things like this happen, one door closes, God closes the door, and another door he opens. And so great things are right around the corner. So we're going to begin in volume one, where Louisa says, my eyes could not close to sleep because of the continuous throbbing of my heart. And Louisa says, and I would say to Jesus, Lord, hurry, for I cannot be without you. This is what happens. In the divine will, you fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with Mary. You begin to understand that a moment without Jesus, a moment without the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve, is a sadness. Why? Because Jesus and Mary bring us this divinity. They breathe into us this new beginning. It's really not new. It's the life that Adam lost. We begin to breathe in this abundant life that helps us become peaceful, joyful, and happy. And so she's saying this. She says, Lord, hurry, for I cannot be without you. Accelerate the hours. Let the sun rise quickly, for I cannot resist anymore. My heart is fainting. She is living this mystical marriage. This is what the mystical marriage is. for the great saints, you know, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, for the great saints, they entered into this mystical marriage. This is what God gave to Louisa as well. But even more than that, this is what the church is discovering. It's not only the mystical marriage, it's the marriage to the cross. And so what happens here is she says, I can't resist anymore. You know, I need to have you back. My heart is fainting. I can't live without you. When we enter into this gift of the divine will, this is what happens to us. We desire God so much that he just said to us yesterday in the readings, if you're reading the calendar, he said four things. He said, first of all, I want you to enter into this life. Okay, so the first thing is to begin to resign yourself to saying, I want this gift of the divine will. Then the second thing he says is, I want you to desire it more than anything. So then once you say, I want this gift, then you say, I want this more than anything, more than anything, more than anything that is holy or good or saintly. Those are the words that Jesus says to Louisa. I want you to enter into a share in divinity. Then the third thing that happens is he says, I want you to make this your favorite thing. So what happens is out of all that I do during the day, this is the most favorite. This is what I desire. This is what I resign myself to. Reading, studying, and listening to Jesus speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls. And then finally, he says, I want you to consume this. I want you to masticate these words. I want you to devour the word of God speaking this food. He's speaking this first bread to us. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, what happens? A new beginning happens for all the world, for you first and for all the world. Because he says, what I have planned, the divine will is not another holy thing to do. It's not another saint to know. It's not another saint to follow. What the divine will is to begin to enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And so what our God is saying is the way this is going to happen, this is what he says to Louisa, is through this mystical marriage. Now, it's impossible for us, because we're not even close to being saintly, for us to have the mystical marriage. But because Jesus gave it to Louisa, now, if we are linked to Louisa, Jesus says, if you want this, I'll give it to you. That's why we buy the ring and we wear the wedding ring. We wear it around our neck. We wear it on our finger. It's to say to God, you belong to me and I belong to you. You are my spouse. You are my savior, my Lord, my king, my God. And now Jesus says, I want to be your spouse. So what happens at that point is we begin to live this marriage. And when you see, even if you can't buy a ring, we begin to remember that Jesus becomes our spouse. He is the groom. We are the bride. No matter if you're male or female, you are the bride. God is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, and our spouse. So this is what he says. This is what Louisa says. He himself would make such loving invitations that I would feel my heart crack. And Jesus would say to me, see, I am alone. Do not be troubled because you cannot sleep. Now this is what Jesus is going to teach us. He wakes us up in the middle of the night. Every night he does this. This is about keeping company with your God, with your spouse, with your all, who is continuously offended. So why is Jesus waking us up at night? He says, I want you to understand what I'm going through. And he explains this so clearly. I want you to understand what I am going through. You think you're having trouble? So he says this, oh, please do not deny me this relief, because then in your afflictions, I will not leave you. So here, when he wakes us up, he's saying to us, I want to be relieved of the suffering that I am going through. He says, and he says to Luisa, and he says to us, and this is what he's teaching us. Why do you wake up at night? He says, because in your afflictions, I will not leave you. When you wake up at night, it's Jesus saying, I have to show you something that I, the Lord God Almighty, is going through, that your spouse is going through. So that when during communion, you find yourself alone, agonizing, and think that I want a little bit of your company in my agony in the garden. So here it is. Jesus is saying, he's waking us up in the night to show you, I want you to focus that we're in the agony. Jesus is in the agony, and he woke you up to share with you what he is going through. Therefore, place yourself near me and make a comparison between your pains and mine. So this is someone once said to Jesus, you only hung on the cross for 3 hours. I've been suffering with this for 20 years. And then Jesus says, let's compare. Let's compare your sufferings with mine. The Son of God who suffered on the cross, a God who cannot die, dies. That what type of suffering is that? What, he is the most innocent of all. What type of suffering is that? What happens is we begin to recognize Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. We begin to recognize Jesus as the one who not only redeems us, but now he wants to sanctify us. So he says this, see, you alone and deprived of me, and I too, God alone, abandoned by my most faithful friends who are there, but they're sleeping. Now think about this. The Catholic Church, in every Catholic Church, we have the tabernacle with a little flame next to the tabernacle saying, Jesus is here. And when we walk into church, what happens? People start talking. They sit down and they start talking to one another and they're laughing. And well, what did you do today? Why? And abandoning Jesus. Not only that, but the churches are closed. John Paul II asked in the 1980s that every church have Eucharistic adoration. Not just occasionally, that the church enters into this life of being alone with Jesus, our prisoner of love in the tabernacle. The churches are closed. The greatest thing that we have is Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, and the churches are closed. The Eucharist is hidden. A lot of churches put the Eucharist in a corner. I know this one parish I went in once, the Eucharist was at the entrance of the church. When they went in, their back was to Jesus. They sat down with their back to Jesus. We got to get back to knowing who Jesus Christ is, where Jesus Christ is. And this is what he says. He says, you see, alone and deprived of me, I too am alone. I too am abandoned by my most faithful friends who are sleeping. This is where the majority of Catholics are. They're sleeping. 70%, they're saying, don't believe in the Eucharist. 70% of Catholics do not believe in the Eucharist. You know what Jesus said to Luisa? He said, when the churches close, he says, I am closing them. Jesus is in charge. And he says, why do I close them? He says, I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of being ignored. So I will close the churches. Now, since this thing that's been going on for a few months, what's happening is God is saying, okay, come back to me. Come back to me. Those that want me. And you're going to see, in many of the places, the church is even more empty because God is giving everyone what they want. And most people don't want Jesus Christ. Most people don't want the Holy Eucharist. Most people don't understand you know, we see God when we look in the monstrance. That is the Lord, our Savior. And most people have no understanding of it. You know, as you enter into this gift of the divine will, one of the things that God shows us is he wants to be alone with us. So a lot of churches don't have Eucharistic adoration, but on the internet, it's there for those who want it. You can go to adoration, live adoration of the monstrance of the of Jesus Christ, and you can be with Jesus in your own home. I mean, the Lord is blessing those who want to be with him. Maybe your church doesn't have it, but the internet does. And you can be alone with your Jesus. You can adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him. You can enter into this communion with God. So he says this, Jesus was left alone even by my divine Father, and then in the midst of the most bitter pain, surrounded by snakes, vipers, and rabid dogs, which were the sins of mankind, along with yours, too, did their part. He says, such that they seemed to want to devour me alive. Tear Jesus Christ apart. This is what's happening today. So what does Jesus do? He goes to his best friends. That's us. He says, you are my dearest children, the ones who have been given this gift of the divine will, given the book of heaven. And he wakes us up and he says, would you spend time with me? Would you console me? Would you help me? Would you defend me? This is what Jesus is teaching Louisa. Why? For us who are, all of us, we're being woken up every night by the Lord. And Jesus is saying, this is why I wake you up. He says, I need you to be near me because I'm the one that's being offended, Jesus says. I'm the one that's being torn apart, Jesus says. And he says, will you spend some time with me? My apostles didn't. He says, will you spend time with me? And so this is what he's doing. So he says, my heart was taking such grips that I felt as if I were under repressed, so much so that I sweat living blood. So here we see the Sacred Heart of Jesus with such agony. I was under a press. If you've ever had a wine press, if you've ever made grapes, if you've ever made wine, the wine press, you get down to crushing the grapes, crushing you're moving that press down until what? Until the grapes turn into a block, like a cement block. You've crushed everything out of it. That's what Jesus is saying. I felt as if I was under a press, so much so that I sweat living blood. And when you make wine, and you're turning the screw that's pressing down on the grapes, you finally get the grappa, the most potent of all, that's in the wine. And, this is what Jesus is showing us. He says, I sweat living blood. So now when you look at the agony of the garden, begin to understand that he was under such pain, such sorrow, such crushing because of the sins of mankind, because of our sins. What happens at that point? It's so much pressure. There's so much being crushed, that what comes out is the most potent, most pure of his blood, like the grappa of his blood. This is what broke out on him. So he says this, tell me, when did you arrive at suffering so much? We love to complain. You get a sliver. Oh, ow, 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 ow. You can't stop. Jesus had thorns broken into his skull, broken into his head, into his flesh. He had his flesh torn off with the scourging. And Jesus shows Louisa that there was three scourgings. First, it was the whipping, which welts the skin. The second is the you break the skin with a whip. First, the welting with a stick, the breaking of the skin with a whip, and then the scourging with the thorn, with the hooks that took the skin and tore the skin off. Jesus shows us, and then the three crownings of thorns that he went through. Read the Passion of the Christ. Read what Jesus, the 24 hours of the Passion, what Jesus went through. He says, I did this to purify mankind, because the sins of mankind with our thoughts, words, and deeds have so offended God. This is Adam's sin. So offended God that we were not allowed into the kingdom. So what does Jesus do? He takes our place. He is on the cross. He becomes all our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. So Jesus goes through all of this. Why? So that we can re-enter into the kingdom. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus says, get ready. And Our Lady of Revelation says, get ready. Time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. He's closing one door, and he's going to open the door to the kingdom. The evil one is like if you ever cornered a snake in the room or it's coming at you. I mean, the snake will do anything to save itself. This is the evil one. If you ever stepped on the head of a snake, the tail wraps all around the leg, trying to get free. That's what's happening today. God is winning. Our Lady is going to crush his head. There's nothing to worry about. God is going to win. The kingdom is being established on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. So Jesus is waking us up. Why? He's going to open this new door where there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. What's going to happen at that point? It's a new era, as Our Lady said to Bruno. This era that we're in, trapped in time and space, is going to end. She says to Bruno, my children, she says, are going to enter and live in eternity, in the beatific vision, where we are supposed to be living. We're not supposed to be here. This is a waiting station. Why? To enter into the kingdom. So this is a time, Jesus tells Louisa, that we are to live a life that is one with Jesus, one with Mary. What does that mean? The holy humanity of Jesus. We have to begin to live the holy humanity of Jesus. If we can't obtain that, then we have to go to purgatory. To why? To be purged of everything that is opposed to the holy humanity of Christ. So if we are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, if we're doubting, if we're sinning, we're going to purgatory. I told you about my good friend who she worried constantly, complained constantly. And I would say to her, stop it. she went to daily mass. She prayed the rosary. She wore the scapular, hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but she could not stop complaining. And I would say to her, for every thought, for every word, please stop this. You know, you're going to spend time in purgatory, and a minute in purgatory isn't like a minute here. You heard the story of the priest, the two priests, good priests. The one priest said, if I die, pray for me immediately. Say a mass for me immediately. Offer a holy mass for me immediately. And the other priest said the same thing. So when the priest died, he heard about it. He said mass. And the priest appeared to him and said, why did it take you 300 years to say this mass? You have to understand, in purgatory, time is different. Heaven is different. A day in heaven is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. That's how Adam lived. When God said to Adam, if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you will die that day. He died at 930 years later. That was the day. You see, God is bringing back what Adam lost. God is bringing back to us paradise, Eden. This is where we're supposed to live, right? This is like a prison. This is where we are. Our DNA is nowhere like the DNA of Adam. Adam's DNA was in God's image and likeness. Our DNA says you got to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. You become food for worms. That's not what God wants for us. But because of the sin of Adam, this is where we are. Now, Jesus has redeemed us. Mary co-redeemed with Christ at Calvary. And now what God is saying to us is, get ready. The kingdom is coming. You're going, like the saints say, we're going back home. This is where God has planned for us to live, not here. So we're here and we make the best of it here, but it's not where we're supposed to be. So what is Jesus doing? He's giving us the way and the how the kingdom is coming. And as you read the book of heaven, you begin to live this abundant life linked with Jesus, linked with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. How? Through Louisa. She's the one. They gave this to her. And this is what God is asking us. Are you beginning to want what God wants for us? This is what he's saying. He says, therefore, when you find yourself deprived of me, this is where we are, afflicted, empty of any consolation. This is where we are, filled with sadness and with worries, with pains. This is the solution. Come close to me. Dry that blood of mine. See, the focus is not on us. The focus is on Jesus Christ. Dry that blood of mine from me. Offer those pains to me as relief for my most bitter agony. So when you wake up in the middle of the night, Jesus is saying, will you comfort me? I have no one to comfort me. The churches are closed because of the sacrileges, he says. Jesus says, will you console me? Will you help me? By doing so, you will find the way to be able to stay with me after communion. So what Jesus is saying, we right now, when we receive Holy Communion at Holy Mass, what happens at that point is it's 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And at that point, the real presence of Jesus in a mystical way is gone. Okay. Jesus is saying, do you want to continue this communion with me? He says, this is the solution. By doing so, you will find the way to be able to stay with me after communion. It begins to be a communion with Jesus in a real way. This is what he's offering, not in a mystical real way, but in a real way. He says, and what happens is this gift that he gave to Louisa of a perennial communion begins. What was the perennial communion? Where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. One with God, without ending. So the Lord says to Louisa, this is why I'm giving this to the church, this communion in a mystical way, to prepare the souls to receive me in a real way that will never end. So why does Holy Mass end right after you receive communion? You receive communion, you receive the final blessing, the Mass is over. It's the 15 minutes that the church does not want to interfere with your communion, where you adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him. You glorify him. You fall deeper in love with Jesus. You begin to enter into this communion with God. It's not a time for fellowship. It's a time to be silent with Jesus. It doesn't matter if the whole church is having fellowship. That's Protestant. It doesn't matter. You, in the name of all the noise around you, kneel and say to Jesus, I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you. I glorify you with all the sound, with all the laughing, with all the jolly all around. I want to use this that the people are doing to adore you, to praise you, to glorify you. See, Jesus is teaching us how the kingdom is going to be established. It's falling deeper and deeper in love with Jesus, most especially through Holy Communion. And if you can't receive Holy Communion, Jesus says you can receive a spiritual communion every hour on the hour. Now, Louisa, the picture of Louisa, she's looking up. This is what happened every day when she received Holy Communion in her room. She was given permission to have Holy Mass in her room by Pope Leo XIII and by Pope Pius X. So St. Honorable DeFrancio was one of the priests who came in to say Holy Mass for her every day. And what happens? She prepared herself for Holy Communion 2 hours before Holy Communion, then the Mass, an hour of Mass, and then 2 hours after Mass. 5 hours of receiving Holy Communion and adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God. And the last 2 hours were ecstasy. She was in ecstasy for 2 hours. Let's look at our communion. When do we get to Mass? Is it just before Mass? How do we prepare ourselves to receive Jesus in the Eucharist? How do we receive Jesus in the Eucharist? What happens after we receive Jesus in the Eucharist? Jesus is showing us through Louisa what he's calling us to do. This is the greatest time of our life. Receiving body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, our Master, our King, our Savior, our spouse, to become one with him, falling deeper and deeper in love with Jesus every day. This is what God is looking for. He says, I'm giving this to you, Louisa, so that you can give it to all of mankind, so that they can begin to learn what I gave to you and how to live this life. It's falling in love with God. It's entering. This is what Jesus says to Louisa. I want you to dive into the infinite ocean of the divine will and drown. Why? He says, I never want you to leave. I want you to always be one with God. So if our treasures are here on earth, if everything here on earth is what we're looking for, we're not ready for heaven. We're not ready for heaven. So what does Jesus do? And you have to understand this. This is very, very important. Jesus says to us through Louisa, I want to take everything away from you. All the human loves I want to take away from you. Love of chocolate. Love of exercise. I know some people that are in love with exercise. They can't stop exercising. Even on Sunday they exercise. On the Lord's Day. Jesus says, I'm going to free you of all the earthly loves so that you'll enter into heavenly loves, divine loves, which make the earthly loves, you know, nothing. I remember we were talking about heaven once in our prayer group, and one of the girls in our prayer group said, we were talking about what could heaven be like? What could heaven be like? And she says, well, my heaven is watching sunsets. Nothing can be as beautiful as a sunset. And I went, sunset lasts, what, 15 minutes? We're going to enter into eternity. We're going to enter into the beatific vision. We're going to enter into be one with God, fused with God. And she says, I can't see anything more beautiful than a sunset. She didn't last too long in the divine will because her love was of earth. Jesus wants to change that to enter into heaven. So what does he do? He wakes us up every night when we can't defend ourselves. And what does he say? He says, wake up. Will you be with me? Will you stay with me? Will you help me? Will you comfort me? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And this is what he says. It is not that you will not suffer because of the most bitter pain I give to the soul. Souls dear to me. See, Jesus is the one that's doing this. Is to deprive them of me. But by thinking that you thought your suffering you give to relieve me, you will also be content. So the suffering that we will experience nobody really has experienced it yet, is to be without Jesus. That's what he says. It is not that you will not suffer. He says, because the most bitter pain I give to the souls dear to me is to deprive them of me. See, as you fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus, to be separated from Jesus is more and more painful. Okay, what does that mean? Holy Mass, exposition, the Book of Heaven. What happens is, as you go away from God, it is more painful. So what is he doing? He's leading us to becoming a true spouse of Christ, not wanting ever to be separated from him. So what does he do? He always points to the cross. He always points to the passion. And he says, this is where I am. I did this for you. Will you comfort me? So what happens when you see something, that's horrible? I know people go, oh, that makes me so mad. No, it's offending Jesus. The first thing Jesus taught Louisa is to thank him for showing us what is happening. Lord, thank you for showing this to me. Second, he says, it's offending me the most. Lord, I am so sorry this is offending you. And then he says the third thing is, would you repair this for me as if it never happened? So when you see something happening that's bad, you spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, what you say to Jesus is, I thank you for showing this to me, Lord. You're waking me up. I'm sorry this is happening to you, Lord. And Lord, I want to repair this as if it never happened. This and all sins never happened. This is the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. Why? He's showing us how much he loves us. That recreates us. Why? So that being recreated, you, Holy Spirit, will renew, repair the face of the earth. Through whom? Through us. So what Jesus is doing is he's waking us up literally at night. And as you read the Book of Heaven, he's waking us up spiritually as well. Do you understand, Jesus says, why I'm waking you up? Do you understand why I've given you the Book of Heaven? Jesus says, you are my dearest children. He says, I'm waking you up. Don't take this personally. He says, it's affecting me. Console me. Repair for me, Jesus says. So this is what's happening. Therefore, now this is very important. I, God, want you to visit me 33 times a day. How do you do that? I haven't got the time. That's the first thing people say. I haven't got the time to do that. It has nothing to do with time. Go to the church that you were baptized in your mind's eye. Go to the church that you received first communion in your mind's eye. Go to the church where you received confirmation in your mind's eye. And thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for this baptism. Now I'm ontologically changed. I'm no longer a son or daughter of Adam. I'm a son or daughter of God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving Holy Communion. Thank you, Jesus, for my first confession. Thank you. You can visit all the churches, then go out throughout the world. If you've been at Notre Dame in Paris, go into the church and be there. Because you can see everything, be there to adore God, to love God, to praise God. Go to the church in Jerusalem. Go to the church. Go to St. Peter's. In your mind's eye, this is what Jesus is saying. Honor my years. You know, and again, this can be done in 33 seconds. But what happens is, as you enter into this, what happens is you want to spend more time with Jesus. And you're visiting him. Go to Rudabach. Go to Garabandal. Go to Medjugorje. Go to Guadalupe. Go to Knock. If you've been in these churches, and even if you haven't, go there. Visit Jesus. This is so amazing. Honoring my years and also uniting with me in the sacrament with my own intentions. I'm here, Jesus, for you. What do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to offer this visit? Do you see? There's no time or space in the divine will. Don't think humanly. See, even our intellect, the three powers that he gave us, our intellect, memory, and will, he wants to help us begin to think from a divine perspective, from Jesus's perspective. So again, when we enter into this gift of the divine will, Jesus is changing our intellect. He's changing our memory. It's not about what people said to me or people did against me. I mean, everybody has to be forgiven, and we forgive everybody, and we ask for their forgiveness. But what's really amazing is when you go in there, when you enter into this gift, see, Jesus says, the main gift I'm giving to the children of the divine will is by location. Why? To be with Jesus wherever he is. To adore him, to love him, to praise him, to thank him, to bless him. How can you be sad? How can you be worried? How can you be fearful, anxious, or complaining when you're with Jesus? How can you? You can't. It's impossible. If you're really with Jesus, it's impossible. So he's asking us, begin to think from a divine perspective. Begin to have your memory from a divine perspective. Thinking of Jesus, that's why we pray the rosary. To be with Jesus through the loving eyes of Mary. And then he says, and then begin to surrender your human will. You use your free will to choose. Do I want to live in my misery, my human will? Or do I want to live in God's holy divine will where there is peace, joy, and happiness? Where you're one with God, fused with God, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So what's happening is God is transmuting us. That's what he says to Louisa. The transformation was for the religious, for the saints, the good, the holy. Divine will is to be transmuted. And when you think of the word transmutation, the inside and the outside of the element changes us into a completely different element. It's like take a bottle of wine. The inside changes completely into something completely different. And the outside changes into something that's completely, it doesn't even look like a bottle. This is what Jesus is doing with us. Our insides, our heart, mind, and soul, our intellect, memory, and will, and our outside. What did Jesus say? He says the scripture says, what we are now is children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know, but what we know is when this happens, we will see God as he is and become like him. That's a mirror. Our outsides are going to be in God's image and likeness, the way he originally planned with Adam. This is what God has planned. So this is what he says. He says, uniting with me in the sacrament with my own intentions, that is reparation and adoration. I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I want to repair and redo everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You will do this at all times. Do you see? These 33 visits could be every hour on the hour just to be with Jesus. Why? To repair and adore. And the first thought of the morning, fly before the tabernacle. See, he's saying with your mind's eye, as soon as you wake up, go to the tabernacle. Kneel down in front of the Blessed Sacrament in your mind, with your mind's eye. Look at Jesus and the monstrance with your mind's eye, in which I am, he uses God's name, I am present for you, love of you. He's in the tabernacle for the love of us. And he's saying to us, would you be the ones to be with me more than my disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? And visit me. And also with the last thought of the evening, while you sleep at night, before and after your meal, at the beginning of each or one of your actions, walking, working, talking, dancing, singing, swimming, whatever you're doing, always with Jesus, always with Jesus. This is what God is waiting for. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.